More Toronto Blue Jays baseball is coming your way.
Hammer deep left field. Yes, sir. Let's admire that one.
On the Blue Jays Radio Network.
Fastball. Broken bat looper to right. That's a base hit. Rajay scores. Escobar held at third. And the Blue Jays take the lead here in Kansas City 3-2.
Part of the eighth inning rally for the Blue Jays. They were shut down completely almost by Luke Hochaver, Tim Collins, and Aaron Crowe through the first seven innings of the game. They managed only three hits, all singles. But then Greg Holland came in at the top of the eighth inning, gives up a leadoff double to Colby Rasmus. J.P. Arencibia singles him in. And then that single from Jose Bautista after a walk, a balk, and an intentional walk loads the bases. Bautista breaks the tie, gets the Blue Jays the 3-2 lead. Later on, Edwin Encarnacion would hit a sac fly for a three-run inning. And the Jays hold on to beat the Kansas City Royals by a final score of 4-3. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. But of course, the big play of the night, the Blue Jays in the bottom of the third inning. Alex Gordon leads off with a double. Unieski Betancourt follows with a walk, and then it's Eric Hosmer.
The 2-2 pitch, hit sharply on a line, Lynn gloves, sprints to the bag at first, fires to second, and they turn a huge triple play. The runners took off just a couple of steps. Adam Lynn took the line drive right at his shoes, sprinted to the first base bag, immediately fired down to shortstop at second, and they turned the 3-6 triple play.
How about that? A triple play, and I'm pretty sure most of you within the sound of my voice have never heard or seen the Blue Jays turn a triple play before. That's because the last one that was officially recognized happened in 1979. And amazingly, especially since it happened 33 years ago, that was the Jays' second triple play of that month. But the last time they had turned it before tonight, September 21st, 1979, against the New York Yankees, Damaso Garcia was at the plate for the Yankees. This was a year before he got traded to the Blue Jays. He hit a line drive to Dave McKay, who caught the ball through to Craig Cusick at first for two, and then back to Alfredo Griffin at second for the triple play. This is the fourth triple play in Blue Jays history. And again, first since September 21st, 1979. And yes, they got one in 92 in the World Series, and Bob Davidson stole it from them. That's just the way it works. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Let's get to the phones. Listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Mike is in Markham. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
Awesome. Well, triple play. I think the last time we saw that, the Jays won the World Series, so good omen, even though it wasn't counted. The last time before that, 79, you're right, I wasn't even born.
See, I figured.
Born December of 79, so never saw an official. I still haven't seen it. I was out for dinner, and I just turned on the radio and heard you talking about it. So
you should never, ever, ever do anything that means you're not going to watch or listen to a Blue Jays game.
Well, I was at the bar, and they were showing the hockey, so I had the iPhone on, had the score checked, but no one told me about the triple play. Except you. So listen to The Fan to get my info.
That's right.
Do a great job. Yeah, I'm just really excited. I'll call back throughout the season. I'm excited about the Blue Jays. Dying for a winner here in Toronto without the Leafs, you know, the horrible disappointment they've had. And really looking forward to the Jays. My prediction is 95 wins. That's way out there. It's 10 more than last year.
It's 14 more than last year.
14 more? Okay, they had 86. So
they had 81.
81, can't add right now.
You had a couple of drinks at the bar, did you?
No, I don't drink, but right. Just actually trying to park the car. I think that they're going to blow 10 less saves. They blew 25 last year, 25 saves?
Yes, but that didn't lead to 25 losses.
It didn't, okay. No. Well, I'm just saying 10 more wins is very manageable for what I think this team is capable of, and they're coming together. They're a good young squad. They're fun to watch. Everyone's excited about it. Turning a triple play, that's got to get people talking. So let's keep the positivity up. We got great pitching. It's just going to take some time, but they are leaps and bounds ahead of our other Toronto franchise, which I'm not even going to bother mentioning. Go, Jays, go. Let's go.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it, Mike. There are several other franchises in Toronto, but I understand the one you're talking about. And again, 10 more wins than last year would be 91, not 95. But that's a very, very ambitious prediction. But I like it. Ivan is in Markham. Yvonne is in Markham. Sorry. Mike. Listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
First time caller, long time listener, Mike. I just had a couple of comments here.
Thanks for coming out of the closet for me.
I was actually expecting a little bit more out of this game in terms of I thought it was going to be a larger score, larger difference between the two teams. And I agree with our previous caller as far as, you know what, for us to get those 95 wins, we're going to have to be blowing out these kind of games. Santos.
No, it counts the same if you win by one as if you win by 10.
You know what? It's true, but that also means that Santos got to keep it up, and he's got to be able to save the saves. And to be honest with you, not just me, but a couple of buddies that we're with, we were on pins and needles right now because, you know what, you never know, right, just because of his past performance, even though it's been about, what, four games or whatever it has been.
Yeah, this was his fifth appearance of the year? This was a pins and needles-y save. It was.
It was. But I think that, you know what, they're on the right track, and there's definitely a lot of development, young team, but they really got to keep it up, especially with teams like Kansas City. These are games that we have to win if we want to hit that 95 game mark. Another thing I just wanted to say, and I'm just throwing this out there, I don't even know what the contract's like, but I know I was listening to you guys yesterday, and they're talking about older pitchers and getting someone with experience. How good would it be if we get Roy Halladay back? But I don't even know what the contract's like with him, but
it's not going to happen.
Never.
Not never.
You can hope for it, right?
In about 3 years, maybe four.
Yeah. But I think overall we're doing a great job. Keep it up. Some great signs, but we got to keep the closing position, and Santos really got to continue with his game. But I think overall they're doing well. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more out of Alvarez as well as he comes along. But I like what we're seeing. I don't know about 95, maybe 90 to 93, but let's hope for 95. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks for the call, Yvonne. And I like it. I like that 90 to 93 is now a conservative prediction for the Blue Jays. Setting expectations pretty high, especially since yesterday everybody thought they sucked. Dave is in Toronto. Dave, listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome to the Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
I was not at the bar tonight drinking, nor am I parking my car.
All right, then let's see how well you can do math.
I don't have any win predictions for you. But, hey, listen, you know what I wanted to talk about was organizational hitting philosophy. During the broadcast on the TV side tonight, the guys were talking about the traffic light strategy that the Jays and the coaching staff uses for base running when they're talking about stealing. And it was in relation to, I guess, Davis being on base late in the game, and that some guys have, you know, automatic green lights, and there's two guys on the team that do, and the rest of the guys, it's either a red light or a kind of a caution or a yellow. And it got me thinking because, I mean, Escobar was at the plate in what could have been a real key situation in the game if Santos blows it, and that insurance run could have been really key. And he's swinging away on the first two pitches and then didn't give Davis a chance to steal that base and get into scoring position for the top of the order.
In the ninth inning?
It wasn't at the top of the ninth inning?
Yeah, Davis got caught stealing to end that inning.
Yeah, but he on the first two pitches, though, Escobar swung away on the first two pitches that he saw, and one of them for sure was out of the strike zone. And they made a comment on the broadcast that he's a bit of a free swinger, and it makes it very difficult for guys to steal when they're on base in front of him.
Well, I don't know that I would say Escobar's a free swinger. He's a guy who takes his share of walks. You're right, he did swing and miss at the first two pitches, but it didn't deny Davis the opportunity to try to steal the base. I mean,
Well, what it got me thinking was, and it's really, it wasn't, my question wasn't about the base running or that, you know, in particular that situation, but it got me thinking about, you know, there's been lots of times this year where I've kind of been sitting back and watching guys in certain situations and wondering, you know, rhyme or reason, what are they doing up there at the plate in certain situations, you know, whether it's a 2-0 count, a 3-0 count, you know, they're ahead or behind in the count at certain times in the game. Does the organization, and when they're working with guys in the minor leagues, and I know they used to talk about this with JP, that they wanted to have higher on-base percentages,
yep.
And there's been a little bit of talk this year, the Jays trying to, you know, get pitchers into their higher pitch counts earlier in the game so
that
they
right.
can get into their team's bullpens. So are they? Is there a philosophy to take more pitches?
No.
Do you work with kind of the strategy individually with the guy, what his strengths are, how he fares against a certain pitcher? How does that work in their game planning?
Well, what works is that, you know, first of all, it's a case-by-case basis. You can't have this overarching, you got to take pitches, because then when you get up against a guy who throws strikes, then you're behind 0-2 because you're taking pitches to get deep in counts. The way it works is pick a... Well, first of all, be aggressive on pitches that are in the spot you want, whether it's picking a quadrant of the strike zone that you're looking for a pitch in, but you're looking for a pitch in a spot. And if you get it, you swing. And don't force a swing until you get to that two-strike point where you have to protect and you have to make sure and you have to, you know, not strike out. You got to swing it at any strike. But really what they would love to do is become more like the Yankees and Red Sox, who play those four-hour games, who take forever because they're fouling off pitch after pitch after pitch, and because they don't swing at pitches that aren't strikes. So that's what the Blue Jays are trying to do. Don't swing at a pitch if it's not a strike, and don't swing at a pitch if it's not a strike you like, unless it's two strikes. And you have to, or it's a hit and run or something, and you have to. But not everybody's built like that, and there are a lot of guys who just aren't comfortable hitting with two strikes, so they have to swing earlier in the count. The key is to get more players who are comfortable getting deep in counts and who will take walks, because that's the key to scoring a bunch of runs. Peter is in Markham listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, thank you, Mike. That was a pretty cool game today. I had so much fun listening to it. It seemed like everything just happened today.
It was a
very
cool
like
game.
Absolutely everything.
Lots of stuff. Triple plays and box and wild pitches and late inning rallies and Jose Bautista getting drilled. All kinds of cool stuff.
Exactly. I just want to get away from this game a bit and talk about tomorrow. Drew Hutchison is starting, right?
Yes.
And I just want to know... How long is he going to be up here? Is he actually up here for just this one start, for a spot start, or is he actually going to be?
No, the plan is not to have Hutchison one and done. The Blue Jays haven't really needed a fifth starter since the beginning of the season, since that third game of the season.
They had off days.
But now they do. They don't have another off day until May 8th, I think, or 7th. So they're going to need five starters through a five-man rotation four times between now and their next off day. So there's a fifth starter here for the duration, and they hope it's Hutchison. The plan certainly is not to give him the one start and then send him back down.
Okay, I see. So if he does pretty bad in his first start, is he still going to be out there for the next time around?
Depends how bad pretty bad is. I mean, if he gets blown up and shows that he's clearly not ready to pitch in
the major league. What other options are there?
There's Joel Carreño. There's Jesse Chavez, there's Deck McGuire, there's Chad Jenkins, there's Tim Redding. I mean, there are a few other options.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to stick with Hutchison. I don't like the idea of just getting one start and just getting sent back down. It just sounds pretty bad to me.
Well, you're talking about a 21-year-old who's made six starts in his life above A-ball, so it wouldn't surprise me if he got beat up. But it wouldn't surprise me if he pitched well. I mean, they say that he's ready, that he's shown them what he's needed to show them to get the call, and they hope he's up here for a good long time. It's very, very rare that it happens, that a 21-year-old pitcher comes up and never goes back down, but I'm very excited to see what Drew Hutchison does tomorrow night. Let's go out to Kingston. Jake, also listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, Mr. Wilner. I thought I'd take a quick exam study and break to talk some Blue Jays baseball with you.
No better reason to take a break. What's the exam?
It's an international political economy.
Oh, very nice.
Anyway, what I wanted to talk about was, I think this team, what really impresses me about Anthopoulos' approach, in contrast to Ricciardi, who I liked, but what I'm really impressed with Anthopoulos is that at every single position, this team has a potential all-star or a guy who has the potential to be fantastic.
Yep.
And I was looking over the Blue Jays the teams from the last 5-6 years with guys like Hinsky, Koski, Catalanato, Hillenbrand, Molina, Zahn, Mensch, Wilkerson, Stewart. They had some really good players. Overbay is a good example, but they were good players, but we knew what their ceiling was, and they didn't have the potential for greatness like I see on this team. I think perhaps the weakest position in the lineup is Eric Thames, and that's really good. So I just wanted to say that I'm really impressed with what Anthopoulos has done. I think the future is incredibly bright for this organization. Hopefully it's this year. If not, I think there are really good things ahead.
Well, and I think that's what, hopefully, what a lot of people believe. Now, go back to studying international political economies. I mean, that's tough stuff. I think that what Alex said from the beginning when he took over was that he wanted to assemble talent and elite-level talent and elite-level middle-of-the-diamond talent and ideally wind up with a potential all-star at every position. And I do believe, like you, I think they have that. And it's just a matter of letting them percolate. Andy's in Kitchener listening on 570 News. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Wilner. I just wanted to bring up a point with you, a couple, actually. Firstly, I want to start off with something that's not misconstrued as a negative thought on the Jays talk here, because I'm really impressed with what's happening. Firstly, I have to say, Drabek, I mean, I've seen a real difference in this guy. He's got the potential of being our number one, number two. Forget Matt Latos. Forget, I mean, Gio Gonzalez. I think Anthopoulos knew that Drabek was one of these guys that just has to figure a couple things out, and he can play that role. Second point, I wanted to ask you about Ben Francisco.
Sure.
Is he hurt? I mean, the guy should be coming in instead of Davis in the seventh, sixth inning as a defensive replacement for Thames in left field.
Why is that?
I mean, well, because he's, number one, he's a better fielder than Thames, and you could argue that he's a better fielder than Davis.
No, he could.
If you look at the advanced metrics, I mean, Davis is not that good a fielder. And
what advanced metrics are you looking at?
Well, I look at UZR 150, and I think maybe I'm not 100% sure that he's actually looking as I'm not sure that Francisco actually beats Davis out in those. So forget the advance.
Oh, okay. Now we're going to forget the advance.
No. I think Francisco should go in first and then save Davis as a pinch running threat.
They want to use Davis as that pinch runner. You're right. They do. And but Ben Francisco isn't enough of an upgrade. And Davis is. And this opens up this whole other thing of, well, A, why is Ben Francisco here? And two, shouldn't you have Travis Snyder here? Because he doesn't have to be replaced defensively. If the difference between him and Thames is negligible, Thames had a solid year last year, had a better spring. He gets the job, but he has to be replaced. And if you're going to make a defensive replacement, you should go with your best defender. And Davis is a better defender than Francisco, but it takes him out of the pinch running game. And so, you know, I don't want to rag on Eric Thames because I think he's doing fine. He's not off to a great start. He's made two really bad plays in the outfield, but other than that, he's been fine. But he has to be replaced defensively. Snyder doesn't. And so wouldn't, you know, the better move maybe to be to have Snyder here, you can use Davis as the pinch runner that you want him to be, and you can use Ben Francisco as the pinch hitter because he's got a little more pop. Chris in Brampton, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Mike. I'll be brief. I know you're pressed for time. It was April 22nd, 1978, because I was at that game for the triple play just one of those things you remember.
Well, that wasn't the last one, though.
No, but I mean, they were saying they were both in 79, and I mentioned to the gentleman that answered the phone. It was 78, though.
There were two in 79, but there was also one in 78. You're right.
Oh, April 27. I thought you were including the one in the World Series.
No, that didn't count.
Okay. Wilbur Wood and Jim Clancy. I remember that game.
Pretty awesome that you were there.
That was good. I was 14, allowed to go without an escort.
Nice.
And okay, and also I just wanted to ask about what we expect from Hutchison, like his go-to stuff. And I know his poise is supposed to be his real forte, but just what's in his arsenal?
His poise and his control. And I have to tell you, I don't know what his go-to pitch is. I've only seen him pitch three or four times, if that. The best thing about Drew Hutchison, he's not going to overpower anybody. He's not going to blow anybody away. But he is going to throw strikes, much like Henderson Alvarez. He's going to throw strikes. Unlike Henderson Alvarez, he's not going to throw 95, 97 with a killer changeup to go with it. But I, you know what? I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow night exactly what Hutchison brings in that arsenal. Probably should know that, so I'm sorry that I don't. But I don't. I do know that they love his command and they love his poise, and they talk about that a lot more than they talk about his repertoire. Greg in Toronto, listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, hello. You have the patience of Job, I tell you.
Thank you.
At any rate, I was wanting to talk about Santos because I'm not overly familiar with him because, he hasn't been doing it very long, but and didn't really follow White Sox very much.
You can't be blamed for that. It's Santos, by the way. I know it's tough. Everyone's making that mistake, but that's
okay.
All.
Sorry about that.
Sure.
Sorry to Santos.
Right.
But any rate, what I'm concerned about is he throws flames. That's obvious. But he can't get ahead. And
had trouble getting ahead in the first 2 weeks of the season.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. But do you think that is something that's going to pan out?
Yes.
You
don't have to have followed the White Sox in any kind of detail last year to know that Sergio Santos struck out almost 14 hitters per nine innings last year. He did walk more than he should have. He walked over four batters, but he also had opponents hit about 167 off of him.
All right.
You know, the numbers that he put up, you cannot put up by
accident.
Pardon me, 181. Opponents hit 181 against
him. I saw those kind of numbers.
Right.
I
you can't put up those numbers by accident. You can't put up those numbers if you're pitching from behind all the time. Yeah,
and yet he had the success over 1 year. Is that correct?
Over 1 year, but it was his first full year pitching, and
right.
Over 63 innings. And this year, he's thrown five innings.
No, I'm not. Listen, I've been watching baseball a long time. I realize it's very early.
Okay,
it's just that when I look at a closer,
yeah,
you got to be first pitch strike 90% of the time. I mean that's.
I don't think that's true, and I'm out of time, so I got to let you go, but I appreciate the call. I don't think blanket statements like that are true. You can, if you've got overpowering stuff, if people will chase your slider, you can fall behind. It's very difficult to be successful pitching from behind all the time, but it's not, I mean, you don't have to be first pitch strike 90% of the time to have success, maybe not even 80% of the time to have success. Sergio Santos is going to be fine, I promise. Take a look at the scoreboard. Get you set up for Hutch's debut as the Honda postgame continues on the Blue Jays radio network. Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals 4-3, and in the bargain, they turn the first triple play that the club has turned since 1979. Eric Hosmer with runners at first and second in the third inning, lines to first. Adam Lind catches a ball, step on the bag, throw to second, call it a triple play. Your AL East scoreboard, the Orioles getting thumped 6-1 by the Angels. They're in the bottom of the sixth. Yankees beat the Red Sox 6-2. Twins took care of the Tampa Bay Rays 5-4. So the Blue Jays, Yankees, and Orioles right now the only teams over 500 in the East. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network.